Blog Talk Radio.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above.
Yeah.
welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Charles on the Spirit of Truth Revealed. I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are during this precious season, of course. It seems like the weather is subsiding. With a little bit of weather actually on the East Coast, a little bit of snow, but hope everyone is safe. And I just wanted to say hello and thank you for listening in. First, let's set our minds to receive the Word of God, and then I'm going to pray. The Bible says to continue to fellowship with one another, remembering that what sin separates from God, and we need to walk by the Spirit, not by our sinful nature. So we need to confess our sins. And it states in 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me give you a quick time of silent prayer to focus on yourselves before we hear this word and prepare yourself to receive today's message. Then I'll pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give thanks, giving you thanks for all things that you have given and plan to give to us as we currently continue to do your word of God and continue to study. And understanding you giving us the grace and mercy as we continue to focus on you, Father, and also how we impact others. And we also want to pray for the sick, for those who are sick. We know sickness is not of you, God. You are what? You are a healer. You are a deliverer from these things of the world. And sickness has no place in the body of Christ. And also pray for the safety of others. There's a lot of missionaries that are abroad that are there to spread the word of God, and they're risking their lives. So we want to pray for those people who are out in missionaries and even here at home today, not only abroad but also at home today. And also pray for the leadership of this country as we continue to move forward in these most difficult times. And also pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for the peace of Israel, even though that there are a lot of challenges for Israel now and that they reelected the prime minister, but still and yet we still have many challenges as it relates to Iran. And also pray for me and those listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's start out with the words of wisdom. Of course, today is Nisan 1, which is March 21st, which is also the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't plan to actually go over that, but you can listen to, there's a very good YouTube as it relates to this finding, and it's very, when you do your quick study, it's very obvious, and we are in a state of revelation. When I mean revelation, I'm talking about the things of God. Things are being revealed in our time through many avenues. I briefly touched upon personal aspects and biblical aspects, but also certain facts of God, things that we didn't know in the past that are being revealed. And God does that for a reason. It's to show you that things are to come as it relates to it, as we march upon the things of revelation. Revelation is actually being revealed at a small, let's put it this way. The book of Revelation is being revealed in, God is giving you small excerpts as we outlay and plan what's to happen. And sometimes that's confused as, hey, we're in Revelation now. No, we're not. However, God will show you. God is a God of patterns. And a lot of people use the stating, there's nothing new under the sun. And absolutely, it's true. There's nothing but patterns. There's nothing that is, you know, that's going to throw us off as far as what God is going to show us in the future. I mean, we can easily see that things that are happening today are excerpts at a small snippets of what's going to happen in the future. So this is for what? For you to what? To believe in the things of God. So it's very simple. But anyway, there's a YouTube. It's titled, You'll Be Surprised. The date of Jesus, Yeshua, was really born. And then it's PT. I think it's one of two. Anyway, that's a good enough search. And it's Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan Kahn is really good as it relates to the Shemitah, as it relates to the Harbinger signal, the Harbinger. He does a really good job. God has opened up his spiritual eyes and related a lot of things that edifies the body of Christ. I truly feel that there's God is using many people, all types of people under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to get God's word out in many ways. So we are all on the same team. However, when people resonate in certain areas, God uses certain people to get his point across in certain areas. And Jonathan Kahn, I truly believe, are one of those persons. Anyway, he explains a little bit about the birth of Christ. Anyway, I'm not going to speak about that today. Anyway, however, I just wanted to state that, you know, happy birthday, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. His birthday is today. It's actually Nisan 1. Nisan 1 is Hebrew date, and of course, March 21st, 2015 is today. Let's continue to move on. So what I want to talk about today is, I actually had a vision last night, so I want to speak about this today, is the return of Jesus Christ, right, is imminent. So the thing is that there's no other events. I'm not going to go over the past events, but there's no other events that precludes that holds back the return of Christ, our Lord and Savior. He can come at any time. However, there are other things that in biblical prophecy that start from, let's say, for example, Daniel 9:27, as we typically state, the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation, that starts from a key of events, and everything's relative to that. So there's a lot of things there's prerequisites. There's things that has to be done before something else. However, the return of Christ, not his second coming, I'll go over that briefly. Sometimes there's confusion. But the return of Christ, you know, when we are gathered with him, some people call it the rapture, when we are gathered with him, that is imminent. In other words, that will happen. So I may not go over a lot of scriptures to focus on that, but the Bible does preach this. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. You start to see patterns. And what I mean by that is that the Bible, in a sense, is, I think sometimes we come into a phase in which a lot of people say, for example, you know, we learn some type of, you know, forethought, or we learn something about certain things, and we hear a lot of people. But to be honest, it truly is, your due diligence to search the scriptures and study yourself, to find these things for yourself. The Bible even states that. So in general, if you take a lackadaisical, if you take a, I don't want to say a lazy approach, but if you do take, I'll go ahead and say it, a lazy approach to hear a lot of the scriptures and you don't study for yourself, you really don't get a clear picture. And then when someone else, you know, again, the Bible says you should, I think it's in Acts 14, it talks about listening and listen openly as it relates to the scriptures. But you also want to study too as well so you can understand, right? Because the Bible also says you want to what? You want to answer and take account for of those things as it relates to Bible. So you want to be sharp, right? So the only way you can do that is to continue to study. And, of course, it's through the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit, currently is rouse up your spirits with understanding. I totally understand that. However, you have to continue to study the Word of God as he reveals certain things. He's a helper. He doesn't do, you know, the Holy Spirit, Christ is mentioned, and Isaiah mentions the Holy Spirit is a helper. It's, the Holy Spirit is not an actual doer. It's an helper. So helping is the things that you're in the act of doing or studying or even performing or even actions, and the Holy Spirit can help out in that area too as well. So there's a true distinction between that. But anyway, so what I wanted to go over is that we have to understand is that the return of Christ at this point is there's two returns. One of them is silent, and I actually put that on the first message. First, as a thief of the night for those who wait in faith, right? So there's a silent one of his return, which we see as, which I'll go over the scriptures, and you can also see as patterns. When I talked about the bottle, the Bible preaches in patterns. But you can see that this first return is silent in the sense that you don't know when he's returning. Even Christ had mentioned that he doesn't even know when he's returning, only the Father in heaven. So he did that for reasons, because you have a lot of people trying to prophesy when he comes back. I would be very careful on that. Anyway, secondly, every eye shall see for those who wait in faith. So that's different. So then there's another return of Christ, which is typically governed as his second return, in which everybody will see. This is when he returns with the saints. And so at this time, this is during the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. So everything starts to make sense. And you can see these patterns in the Bible, actually, as these things orchestrate themselves to what Christ is doing. And there's a reason why he's coming back for the church, of course. Even Christ stated, I will return, you know, and take you. I go to prepare a place. And then after he prepares that place, he's going to return. So Christ is speaking of the church at that time. So he wants to actually pick up the people, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is who? It's everyone. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no Gentile. So, as Paul it states, the body of Christ is everyone who accepts Christ. You can be any color, any nationality. You can be any faith. You can be any. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you come as you are in the body. The Holy Spirit takes that person's spirit and baptizes them in the body of Christ, and you are a part of the church. And I say church, and, you know, in a general terms for everyone to relate. So anyway, so what Christ will do at that at a given time, and when God will tell His Son, who's at the right hand of the Father, He'll say, "Go get them." And actually, that's at the time of the Gentiles. But he'll say, go get them. And then Christ will get his church. And they will reside in heaven until the seven-year tribulation, until his return. So it's important to understand that Christ's return is imminent. So why is that important? It's important because what we go through today, there's a lot of things going on in this world, a lot of confusion, you know, and there's a lot of, and we have to continue to focus. As it relates to the body of Christ and people who have accepted Christ, we have to continue to pray so these things won't overtake us, so we won't overcome these things of the world, right? And that's in Luke 16. So in that sense, we need to continue to shine our light. As it relates to believers, we need to continue to grow our fruits of the Spirit, and we continue to use the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing upon us to spread the gospel, right, as it relates to Jesus Christ. And then, of course, to the non-believers, continue to do the things of God, to attract them as well, and also to preach the gospel, depending upon, you know, your calling as far as where you fit as it relates into the body of Christ. So anyway, so these things are tremendous, and it's very important because of the fact that there's a lot of confusion when he comes and how he comes. So I just want to give you a couple of scriptures. But what I'll do is, and I think this would probably highlight it, these things are very easy. I mean, you could do studying, as I stated, you can do studying by yourself. But I'm going to give you some quick scriptures, and I'll probably give you the full scriptures, actually, that I have in my notes. That way I'm not going to go over it. I'm going to touch on a couple. But the rapture passages, or the when he comes in secret, there are particular passages as that's related. I'm just going to highlight. I'll just give you a few, and then I may go over some. So the rapture passages can be seen in John 14, verses 1 through 3, Romans chapter 8, verses 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 53, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, chapters 9 and 23, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 8, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, James 5, chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 13, 7 and 13, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 through 22, Jude chapter 1, 21, Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Now, those are all rapture scriptures. Now, his second coming passages, in which he comes back and everyone can see him, here are some passages. Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. Daniel chapters 12, verses 1 through 3. Zechariah chapters 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapters 14, verses 1 through 15. Matthew 13, chapter 13, verse 41. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 31. Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. Mark chapter 13, verse 14 through 27. Mark chapter 14. Verse 62, Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 13, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 14, Jude chapter 1, verse 14 through 15, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, Revelation chapter 19, 11, and also Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, Revelation chapter 22, verses 7, 12, and 20. So those are some passages you can study on. I gave you some. Take a look at them, and you can start to see the pattern in which God will focus on that. What I want to do now is just go over a couple. And just understand that there's a reason why Christ is coming for the church, is because it's going to get pretty bad here on earth, if not already. It's actually going to get worse than what we see it today. And it's going to actually continue to get worse as time moves on. This is just prophesied in the Bible. There's a lot going on now. I mean, as you can see it, people are getting their head, you know, of course. There's people getting their heads cut off, and some pretty devastating things that are happening in the world today. But it's actually going to get worse. So, and also the Bible does preach nuclear war. You can see that. I think it's in Ezekiel, anywhere from 36 to 38. I can't remember. I think it's actually in 37. But the thing is that we have to be ready for this. I've actually had visions of war, and that's coming. But we don't have to worry in a sense. It's because of the fact that Christ is of comfort, Christ is of peace. So we don't have to worry about these things. It's because His return brings peace, and knowing that He's returning brings peace. As I continue to get these visions, of course, it's quite disturbing sometimes, because I don't know the interpretation. It takes some time. It depends upon how God wants to flow that information to me. However, the thing is that once you get these, you have to still remember when you're in Christ, there's a peace component, right? There's a comfort component. So we don't have to worry about these things. But, however, we should educate, right? Educate one another on these things to come. They will come because God mentions, I think, in Genesis 6 that the spirit can't strive with man because man is flesh. God is spirit. So the spirit can't strive with us long. God has a point in time that he gives us with the sun, moon, and stars that it's time for us to move on. And we can clearly see that as we see the red moons and as we see the solar. We just had a solar eclipse last night. And typically that's a sign to what? The world. It's very easy. If you look at the, you can go online, if you search NASA, and you start to look at the eclipse that was actually formed last week. Yesterday. Look at where it shines. I mean, look at where you can see this eclipse. It's today, it's right where what? Right where we have the problems with Russia, and Ukraine, Estonia, and also Europe, and the northern part of Africa, and the parts of the Saudi Arabia and a little bit towards Iran. So what am I getting at? God is very exact. And as you can see these things, you can go online and search these things. I mean, we couldn't see it, but a sign, the sun or the eclipse of the sun is a signal to what? It's a signal to the world. But even deeper than that, you can look online to see where what part that the world God is speaking of. And it's phenomenal. If you go online and do this search, you can actually see that God is what? He's speaking to those parts that are being shaded that can actually see the sun. It's so simple. It's so basic. And that's where we have our problems today. And so as we continue the red moon, yes, as we continue with the red moon coming in the next couple of weeks, look where it shadows. That's where the problem is going to be. However, the red moon is towards what? Israel. Right, it's a sign towards Israel. So this is very simple. So if you look at the red moon that we're going to have in 2 weeks, a red moon when it falls on a feast day, it's a sign to Israel. It's a bad omen, right? Now, when I say a bad omen, I'm talking about looking at the things of today. It's going to be, in the future, it's going to be a good thing as it relates to when Christ reigns, but I'm not speaking of that now. Anyway, what I'm speaking of is that the moon, look where it shadows. It actually shadows on parts of Alaska, parts of Russia, parts of China, and a lot of the, Australia. So when you look at these things, or even in the Pacific coast, right, that whole Pacific coast, but it's to Israel. So there's a correlation. Did you know, for the first time, what? The United States is reassessing our what? Our relationship with Israel. And we have to continue to be in, even though the Bible says all nations is going to come up against Israel, that's not a good thing, right? But we have to look. That's not a good thing for the United States, since that, we live in the United States, at least I do. If there's people outside of the United States, God bless you as well. I hope that you continue to, preach the word of God in your country. So anyway, the thing is that as we see these things, it's going to be looking bad, more and more worse for Israel as we go. And it's just leading up to prophecy. Because again, when the Bible says all nations are going to come up against Israel, those nations are going to be judged. And accordingly. And actually, Christ would be returning at that time, which we know of is the Armageddon. Right, and then also Gog and Magog, those are wars, those are divine interventions from God and Christ himself. So that's when everyone comes up again. So we're seeing very small little excerpts of that now, even though it's going to happen in the time frame. Anyway, so his imminent return. So always the prophets, the Bible warns of very specific periods of time, including the day of the Lord's wrath, which is typically the last 3.5 years, or the Lord's Day is typically considered the 7 years of tribulation. However, the day of the Lord's wrath is the last 3.5 years. And we also have the day of the Lamb's wrath, of course, which is in, these are all specified in Revelation, but the first 3.5 is the wrath of the Lamb. But anyway, so his words in the arrogance, we are told, since they appointed Apollos, okay, to wait for a son from him, raised from dead, who deliver us from the wrath to come. So 1 Thessalonians 1:10, again, speaks from the point of Christ is coming for the church, for not us to go through what? The wrath that's coming to this earth. So it's very important, because as you continue to look at the things in this world, and as you continue to look at the things on the news, this world is getting more and more revved up towards nuclear war. I don't know if you've seen this on the news, but we are sending a lot of stuff in Ukraine to combat. If you just go, a nice good website is yahoo.com, and you can see a lot of things as it relates to war. But anyway, in yahoo.com, you can also see these things building up. You can see war building up, us not helping Israel, right? And these should be signs. I mean, you see all the signs. Look at our medication. Our medication is not working. If you look at, just look on TV what they try to sell. There's more side effects than what you want to take the medicine for to get rid of. I mean, you have more side effects. And so why is that? Well, it's very simple. It's very simple. Is that we're coming into the times of, since the United States is turning its back towards God, we are moving now into a period in which God is going to focus back on Israel. If God focused back on Israel, and the Bible states that all nations are going to come against them, you have to realize is that us, you know, Germany, us, is the number one, supporter of Israel, right? Along with Germany and England, you know. But in a sense that, that we use our superpowerness, our superpower, to help Israel out a lot. Now, if we start to turn our back, Obama had stated that, we're going to reassess our relationship with Israel now that he's reelected. I mean, you're starting to see this, what, backing off of Israel. You're starting to see, what, Israel being, what, all by themselves. There was articles stating also that Obama was praising Iran. Now, we have to remember that Iran stated that they wanted to wipe Israel off the map, right, via nuclear ways or however they want to do it. So these nuclear talks are very important. However, as Russia gives Iran a lot of the missiles and the things to build up, their military and regime, we have to take note that these things are coming to pass. And as these things are coming to pass, these things are providing a footstool for Christ to return, right? I mean, you could see that. You can clearly see that these things that are coming to pass, God is ready to say Christ to his son Jesus, go get him, right? And so that's why his imminent return is very important. I can go over the scriptures, but focus on the simplicity in which this world is ending, at least this point of time and this point of frame. What I want to share with you is I also want to hint, give you a warning. And there's a parable that Christ mentions. It's a parable of 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard. "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are gone out." It's kind of funny because they didn't take oil at all. So I thought that was interesting. They're not telling the truth. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest this should not be enough for us and you, but go rather those who sell and buy for yourselves." Right? And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him in the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, ye know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So there's many ways you can interpret this, but let's just make it, and this is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And this shows you a picture of what? Is this speaking, I mean, we can dissect it. Is it speaking to the Jews? Is it speaking to the Gentiles? Is it speaking to the church? Of course, when you look at it, this is Christ. So this is Christ coming for, well, the ten virgins took their lamp to went out to meet the bridegroom, right? So this is an image of Christ returning. I mean, that's very simple, and you could see that. But it's very interesting that that five were wise and five were not. The other five that were not wise, then what? They got left behind. The door was shut, right? I mean, this is simple. So does this mean these are believers, these are non-believers? I'm not going to focus on that. I do want to focus on the door was shut, right? Let's look at it in this sense. The door was shut, right? So there was people that did not go, right? And the thing is that whether, we can, say that the oil is the Holy Spirit, people who weren't spirit, and maybe these were non-believers. Okay. That's fine. But the door is still shut. I don't want to harp on, a Christian's going to be left behind. As you do more and more studies, as you can see from the letters of Christ through Revelation 2 and 3 and through how he writes to churches and how the origins of his writing are, you can see that people are going to have to continue to get their robes clean, right? Because there were some robes that were spotted. Righteous signifies, of course, the white robes, of course, righteousness. You have a right standing with Father. But then there were some robes that were blotched that needed to be cleaned. So that's another study. But anyway, the thing is that we have to be prepared. I think this message is to make sure that we believe in Christ. I mean, make sure that we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and to bring other people in. But, I mean, we have to recognize is that there's some people that's not going to be what? To be brought in. So that's important. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I gave you a lot of the scriptures and to study on. But we have to understand is we need to continue to believe in Christ as we continue to know of his imminent return, because Jesus Christ is returning. He can come at any time. And you don't want to be left behind. And, okay, what are you, speaking of Charles, there's a lot of, maybe you've heard a lot of things as relates to not, it's not really the rapture, it's not really this. I actually spoke to someone one time, and this person didn't believe in the millennium, the thousand-year millennium, there's a period of time in which Christ is going to rule in this world for 1,000 years. And you have to continue to study the Word of God. Evidently, this person, I mean, I think I just said a couple things. Well, what is Ezekiel 40 through 48 speaking of, this new temple, right? It's a physical temple. And this person has stated, you know, our body is a temple. Absolutely, I totally agree. But what's outlined in Ezekiel 40-48 is God, I mean, there's measurements. The inner court, outer court, I mean, there's actual measurements. And this temple is not, you know, when Ezekiel had this vision, of course, you can see what they're sacrificing. I mean, you can see what they're doing in that temple and who, you know, as far as the priestly figures, you can see these things. So that's what I'm saying. It's important to continue to study. And there's other scriptures for the thousand-year reign of Christ, right? When Christ comes, I mean, well, of course, we're going to go to heaven. We're not going to stay in heaven. But we know in Revelation 21:22 that God's going to dwell here, right? So the, you know, there's some contradiction. But if you don't know those parts of the Bible, that's okay. But don't, you know, throw your hands up and say, no, it's this, when you're ignorant of God's word. Ignorant not meaning stupid, but ignorant meaning don't know. So if there's other ways to approach it, you know, it's not good for the same believers to argue, but not to argue, but to have differences. But it's to understand the word of God. A lot of us are in different levels as it relates to Christ. We're at different learning levels. We're at different, all types of levels. Typically, my struggle sometimes is when I continue to study the word of God, and a lot of it being revealed through the Spirit of God, and being able to discern that from Satan, and then be able to use that information to share with others. That's really the process. But there's a lot of, sometimes people can get pride, right? Sometimes a lot of things that comes to them, or even in that sense, it could be used. We could see that even in the Bible, because God says, where are my prophets? As he was speaking to Israel, there were prophets that were bad. I have no doubt in my mind that God does continue to show visions and things to people to get his word out, but sometimes they're corrupt. There's certain things that comes inside their heart, and they misuse the things of God. I mean, we can see even Simon did that, right? When it came to the Holy Spirit, he says, hey, let's use that and let's sell it. And so the thing is that, you know, God freely gives you these things as tools. So you should also freely receive. You should also freely want to give and to help other people. So that's how I see it. There's a lot of things that we have to continue to do and to grow in Christ, right? And there is a portion in which you have to continue to understand how Satan acts and talks and be able to not, you know, to not be persuaded in that sense as well. But continuing to do the things of God is important. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So anyway, I would like to also close by giving yourself to Christ. It's always important to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't given or accepted your life to Christ, it's easy. It's very easy. In the Bible, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, it reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These things are very important. And so, accepting Christ by believing in your heart and confessing it with your mouth brings upon the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you repeat this with me and say these words, in which we do these things to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and rose victorious over death. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I turn from my sin today only to follow Jesus Christ all the days of my life. Lord, I give you all of my pain, of all my hurts, all of my tears, all of my fears, and all of my infirmities. Today, I receive total and complete healing in my life because of the blood shed of Jesus Christ. From this day forward, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So if you prayed that special prayer with me, and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose the third day for you and I, for your sins, then what we say is that you are saved, in which the Holy Spirit takes your spirit and baptizes you in the body of Christ. And from here forward, it's important to continue to build yourself in Christ and to do the things of God, and also joining a local church where God has led you to continue to study the Word of God. And I think that's very important. I just want to say thank you today. Thank you. And I continue to pray for everyone out there to continue to listen. And I also want to close out. Remember, pray every day, ask forgiveness for your sins, and to leave your former ways behind. May God bless you and your family. And I'll see you next time. God bless.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Lovely, all too